Thanks for having me, Steve. I'm going to read a selection from Calamity Jane and the rest from Runaway Go-Kart. I wrote the book Calamity Jane specifically for somebody named Janine Olson. She's a performance artist. And a lot of my work is in direct like dialogue or conversation with other artists. And the book, or Letters to Ernesto Neto, is literally these letters that I wrote to this Brazilian artist. And he wrote me back, and he wrote the afterword for that book. And Janine is kind of famous for doing the smudge, where she went to sites of trauma, and she did these performances. And she's a really close friend, and we were trying to figure out something. And then I just wrote this, and I gifted her this to her. So there are some songs in it. It's more spoken. And also, I was thinking of, I really got hit by something, a voice that's my grandmother's voice. She grew up in Scranton, Pennsylvania. It's coal mining country. And so there's something that she said to me that sort of got inside of me. And so the voice is informed by my grandmother, and it's informed by my conversations with Janine, and a little bit of what I, Eleanor Anton, what I know of some of her work. But part of Jane's voice is a voice inside my own head, too. Here it is. Okay, yeah, and so one of the features of the this solo opera is that it's sort of like almost like an interview. So you hear this interviewing voice come in, and then another voice, and there's all these sections. It's a book, and I'm reading like a quarter of it. Blood and Thunder Stories. Cursing is a marker between me and men, one between men and animals. But a man cursing is hardly cursing at all. My name is Martha Jane Canary Burke. The name was once a headline with Wild Bill. I never learned to read much, but I had a headline. Early on, I was a goner, lost, not covered. My real story would never sell any books. The Wild West is a brand. See this dark stamp, the crazy leather on my leg. Jane on how she got by as an orphan. The answer is, I didn't. My parents were dead. I headed out on a family wagon, terror-stricken, my head full of ruts, shot through the Wyoming territory. Cold, 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 tents and poachers, tents and no blankets. In Piedmont, I took every odd job, my first to stuff newspaper and rag scraps into every crack of a slap plank shack. Otherwise, there were endless scrapes, fevers, frozen black feet, and what nowadays are called rapes. There's nothing left to imagine. I was born Martha Canary. The name never helped. My life as a horse. Younger, I never had a horse, but I always wanted to ride away on a colt. I watched them close. Inside and out, I was a horse, a workhorse, but not only a workhorse, no, not a muffled one or a shy one, none of those. Whatever I might look like, whatever I might be, it wasn't in my eyes. It was the whole me, a burning nag with a heart, all metal, never not wild. Write that down. Gone, gone. The more I kissed him, the more I loved him. The more I kissed him, the more we smiled. Whiskey, whiskey, Martha, whiskey. Whiskey, whiskey. Martha O. Did you give the horse her might? Horses, no, we didn't start off right. My first was broken in by some loudmouthed boys. That one kept running away. My second was old and balky, but not too old to throw me off. Every day. Did you make her leap like the locust? The only one that was really my own was Jenny. She was a big old horse, a beauty too. Someone was owed some money, and the pony was part of the deal. She was a sensitive one, that one, wide between the ears, glossy and good. Draw me up and fly off and away, gone and off. There were many others, a white one and a red one, a black and a pale. Horses with no names and horses with more than one. Gun Gun was also called Gus, and for some reason, Benjamin. What were his other names? I don't remember. I had a wicked blue Nakota. She set her neck on me, wouldn't budge. But we came to an understanding. I called her Mama. With horses, you have to trick them. You pull one way to go another. But Mama never broke. Still, we always got where we were going, and most times, very fast. Fielding the same question in other words. No, hell no, I don't mind certain questions. I'll dine out on Wild Bill to the day I die, and in the hereafter too. What else can I say? I never was polite, but I never asked something like that. I never asked anyone about bygones like that. So, when a man asks me if I've ever killed a man, I tell him this. I say, do I look like a lady who's never killed a man? And for the moment, that is that. Fort Russell. At some point, I was done crying. I couldn't cook, but could make a soup, a three-day-old stew. I had a Winchester that once belonged to a Sioux, that once belonged to a white man. Outside of Fort Russell, I was picked up as a scout. And tooth and claw, that was the end of me, at least for then. That journey towards no spring. Nothing, nothing, blank and nothing. How long was I nothing? Fort Laramie. I got the job at Fort Laramie. Ask around. Ask anyone. Fort Laramie wasn't a fort. I went to work with 9 other girls whose laps and lamps were always burning bright for the next bridegroom to come. A ripped dress, a black eye. No one ever asked, and we never had to make up any stories. Fort Laramie continued. I didn't want to have to insist, but now I have to insist. Stop with the fucking Laramie questions. Yes, the West pressed against me. What? I was encamped. Fucked without joy by heroes. Fucked without a clue by the unwashed. Fucked till kingdom come by the great woodsmen. Fucked and fucked worse by the guys who couldn't fuck me at all. And those boys scarce more than boys with their unshaven faces. What the fuck did you think I was gonna say? Fuck you for fucking asking. All men are mean. What do you mean? Sure they are. Don't talk to me about that. A little mean and a little lean are fine by me. Not the killers or the scoundrels or the vacant devils out to gut the world. Not Andrew Johnson. Shit, no. Not all the outlaws. But some of the odd ones, the misfortunates, and most of the old vaunters are just fine. Their rough bark won't peel off. Stirrups and stews. Mean doesn't mean all bad. Some bastards are just that. Hardened. Wild Bill Hickok and Buffalo Bill Cody. No one would ever confuse them. Wild Bill hardly smiled, and Buffalo Bill was always smiling. Hickok didn't believe the world added up, how one thing looks like it's pushing the other. Buffalo Bill made his livelihood from showing it did. Just shoot your gun up in the air, and 3 black horses jump. Joe Black Fox. The day I met Joe Black Fox, he nodded hey. And there we were. My name is Black Fox, said Joe. My name is Jane, I said. And me, Joe Black Fox, and his dog sat for a very long time. Mud slicks of grass. Joe's face was set and sad, but then he smiled with his eyes, big and brown, softer and softer. Joe never told stories. He knew I knew many men that had killed many Indians. I know he knew that. Dying off or already dead. Dying or already dead. That's how Joe looked at me, warmly, as if we were both already gone, on the other side of something altogether. The end of the Wild West shows. I loved a drink, and still do, but that's not what did me in. It was more that no matter what I did, everyone clapped. At first I loved it, but then I saw how it didn't matter what I did. They kept on clapping. Hell, I love a good show, but Cody had a thing for heroes. That was his job, I guess, but it ate me up. It wasn't me. Yes, I rode a fancy horse and whipped up the crowd some, up and up and up some more. grit. That's it. That's me. If you could nail me down, that would be it. I will slip out of any hand. I will slip out of any land. A man who once ran a stable once shouted out, "Calamity!" Exaggerating the whole thing, the whole wild way. A braying donkey inside of a donkey that looked a little like the horse, the one I was saying that looked like me. Yes, I'm more erratic than erotic, and that's okay. What do I like? I don't know what it says about me, but a good hanging. That's something I hold on to for as long as I can. Woe and along. Woe and woe and along. It's my mother's voice when I say along. Let's move along now, Martha. Move along. And my father's and my mother's and my own. In the woe and the woe. The woe, woe, woe. Jane's daughter. Again, she stays out of this. Don't ask why. But to my baby, I could only sing. She holding, me singing, the bare wet of it. A fit of tears with nowhere else to go. We had a bit of help. Dee Dee, Pats, Barbara, and Pearl offered all they could. A moss bag, a little hamper with, of course, clean towels. There was John Clifford Day, a man who gave us money and we never saw again. A wash bowl and cot from a Chinese family. An old voyager named Pierre and a Shoshone wife that cooked the gamiest jackrabbit I ever ate. But mostly, it was our own heat and fire. One arm, two. The way one hand can be three. A far field moving in our ears. 100 miles of grassland to hold us. The gift of firewood. The gift of a straw bed for a sick heart. Dear daughter, baby, there's no one who can take you away from me singing. I wouldn't let anyone look. They could leave us food and leave us alone. They could hear us singing and hear our hidden cries, but never get a look at my girl. And there's two more. An acorn and my say-so. My say-so is all I've ever had. This is what I wanted to tell, and I tell it best each time I do. I make whatever needs making. One for sorrow, two for joy, all that. I walk out of the same door that let me in. I keep an acorn in my coat. No, I never kill spiders. And yes, hell yes, you know that I know that the horse knows the way. The dead and the dead. People talk about me. Sure they do. It's just more talking. I haven't heard the half of it, but I've heard it all. All the names. One way or another, I am here. There's nowhere else. My name was used again me, but I used it too. Someone said I was a man. Why? Because I know something I won't tell? Because I use a cedarwood toothpick in public? Because I never say I ain't? Don't know. These are poems from my book, Runaway Go-Kart. It's a very different book. I guess all my books are very different. So the first two poems I'm going to read, I think they're more Philadelphia poems, where I'm from. This one's called The Blue Stoop. The Blue Stoop. Who remembers the Blue Stoop? I'm laughing at the question, who? Everybody, all the names. Like an early book of the Bible, it isn't just names. They go deep and make three wide steps, three very wide steps, and everywhere. There's Franny and Kim, Amy, Gary, and George, Dawn Ann and her redheaded brother Bobby, B.A., Matthew, Paula, and Rob, Tommy Fliss and all the Flisses, goddamn Steve Fliss, Steve Smokin' Fliss. Anthony's mother's leaning out the window. Does she ever go out? Yes, every day. She leans out the window all day long. Anthony's uncle played the trumpet. Everybody knows that. When we say he played the trumpet, we mean he played with everybody. Yes, Tony Bennett. But have you ever heard of Al Martino, Guy Lombardo, people, big bands? He played with them all. And in some third floor heaven, he still is. People say, once upon a time, a call was a dime. They say more than I can say here. They say, don't forget where you're from. But I don't have to. I never left. Recently, someone said the blue stoop looks smaller than it used to. I guess they know what they're talking about. But don't tell that to Michael, Michael, and Michael, and a generation of roses weaned on a fresh coat of swimming pool paint every few years. All the dirty kid faces that will never be clean. Those are my faces. And I wrote that poem after a photograph by Zoe Strauss. She sent it to me, and I looked at it, and I wrote it on an envelope. And I wrote back after lunch, and she said, what the fuck, Devani? The next poem I'm going to read is a love poem. I wrote it for people to read at Occupy Wall Street, where they were doing the human microphone. 53. How will I find you? I'm wearing a red hat, she said. I said, okay, I'll look for you. Each red hat I saw you. Those hats stopped me. And more red hats. You texted, I'm late. You texted, I'm here now. It was wet, but not raining. I am here, you said. Still, I couldn't see you. A man told me to get a job, you said. And what did you say? Jobs come and go, but I have something else to do. The work we are in. It is great, and it is real. But is it enough? Yes, it is. And no, it is not. Enough, enough. Yes, enough. And then enough, 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 enough. Coming down the street. I'm going to read two poems that have bears in them. Page 40. One of the things that's going on in my book, I think, is a certain kind of familial feeling, like a feeling of family, even when I'm writing about art. It's like a kind of elective affinities, but sometimes there's that feeling of family just in some of the other, it's just there. Baby Black Bear. Your little brother Joe looks up and says, bear. He's nearly three and up on all his animals. How many other words does he know? Yes, you say, bear. Excellent. But no, Christ no, it is a bear. A small cub, but a bear all the same. You are watching Joe. There is a bear. This is not good. And where is Mama Bear? There is blood in the mouth when you think of a mother who has lost her child. And Joe sits, poised like a baby in an old painting. He sits, and he seems to know all. Kids these days are so smart. They have bears for friends and super absorbent diapers. But the world is wet. There's a primal plea, a ponderous one, one that broadcasts the body. And Joe has lost it or found it. Either way, he's shaking his shit down at the lake. And I think for the next one, you should just buy the book. It's called Burning the Bear Suit. And if I read it, I'll just combust into flames. So I think I can't do it. All right, Bill, I'll do it. I wrote this as a kid. I wrote it thinking about being a kid. So if I was a kid, like an homage to kids. Burning the bear suit, like a kid in the suburbs, like me, if I was there. Burning the bear suit. Loves the song, a do-it-yourselfer, out on the highway. Cord by cord we stand on the shoulder, shredding the light of day. We shred it. Step by step, we kick out of the bear suit we were born in. Lanky and cranky, we say, quote, I'm a bear. You're a bear. I'm a bear. You're a bear too. Pretend is real enough, and we can't pretend is real enough. We have nothing to give, so you have nothing to get. We beat you to the punch, it's true. We simply don't know how to walk in the woods. When we were younger, we could. We think we did, but now we don't know anything about it. What was that? Our hunger lingers on, no doubt. Just don't mistake it for winning anything. Our taste for butter babies goes beyond the need for vitamins, mineral, and butter. Now look again. What we say and what we do is pretty damn close. Our sneakers are bruised, and our paws are too. Wired and sleepy, babies on board go nuts when they see us. Their eyes bug out, and their laughter is insane. Is it art? Burn the bear suit, and everyone there at home, and in a crowding in a massive plaza or lonely garage. The shabby suit, our scraped heart, a room we rent. There's only one thing to do, one thing, the thing we are doing. Bill Berkson asked me to read that poem. I have a sister named Colleen, and she was born with severe mental retardation. And in 1998 or 7, I wrote a poem for her. And then I didn't know what to do with it. And then I lost it, and I found it like 8 years later. And then I wanted to do something with it, and I couldn't figure out what to do with it. And then I just sort of did something with it about 6 months ago. So. This is just an excerpt from the poem that's in my book. It's called Things We String Together. And I think the thing that was able for me to finish this poem was I realized that out of love, you can write with straight fury. Mm-hmm. Things We String Together. It's just about my relationship with my sister. Things We String Together. Familiar as a weeknight and as maddening. Pointing in the doorway, your face hurt then. No, there's nothing out there. You only wanted what you wanted, and there was no reason not to pitch a fit. Before you stormed off, I wanted you to look at me. Before I stormed off, thoughts rankled me. When it comes to being furious, maybe we're even. Your face is kind of tough, fair, defiant. You look Irish. A bit of South Orange, that North Jersey brusque. Heart of amber, heart of spunk. I know we can lock in. I know we can again. We cannot know each other. But we have a thread, the humid September. God comes to see us without a bell. From a sudden hunger, you step away, jangle, follow your nose, your breath. When you dance, you don't want to dance with anyone else, except maybe Tommy Bamford or Gina Cuccia. Just not with me. Sometimes you kick your feet. Sometimes you spin once. When you clap your hands, you laugh. By now, I think I'd know what you're going to do, but don't. But you're as predictable as anyone. You'd rather stay in. You'd rather not swim. Bowling is for suckers, but fun to hang out. Sometimes you fake tears, and so I know, and so we are stubborn. We resent showing our hand. We can't help it. I won't call these bricks and things toys. Identifying wads of red, black, impossible to rip gray tape that's already been taped and taped over at least twice. Another of her bags. You hold the string and beads and shake. It's not manic, it's not voodoo, not superstitious. All sorts of clicks, or is it only one click? Wood block on wood, wood that listens. This is another section of the poem. Late night TV, darkness, there's a way I heard us say, Tommy and Colleen, our names, our household names. Each day we say is another way, that's each day's way. We can only set people right. A show with no budget, no voiceovers, and elliptical. That's not even an idea for a show. We sit, look out the window, look back in, pay per view. The night won't pass. Lonely me, lonely you. Dusk never comes. We're a sleeper hit. And I'm just going to the end section. When I've been away for months, you remember after dinner to tug my hand for bed. You hand me a clean pillowcase. I hand it right back to put it on yourself. I shake out a quilt, waving it over your laughter. You'll push me away. Later, you check to see if everyone's home. I wonder where you think I am when I'm not here, or how much you think of me at all. Your footsteps through the sleeping house, putting everything in its place, or a place you find. The next day's search for your night's work, wallet, shoes, stack of bills, all moved elsewhere. Mom, Grandmom, and Aunt Sharon all have dreams where you talk to them. I, too, look for your language, though I fear what you'd probably say we wouldn't want to hear, as I say nothing here of sex or all the words we've put into your mouth. To me, you say nothing, and I write it down as fast as I can. And I'm just going to read two more. Madison Monk and the Opposition Party. There's an inherited dispute no one disputes. Even if it's a fable, we agree to disagree. There was once enough agreement about disagreement to agree. In school, I pored over James Madison and Thelonious Monk. Both Madison and Monk understood essential tension, the variant shapes that are X and N and O, our dented and shiny horns of mutual frustration, and more yet will. This, how I came to speak for myself. Now I stand among the rocks. The rocks are stony and proud in their way, blunt or mute or partly so. Sometimes saying things like, hold me, and go, and hold me, and stay. So I go, or hold on, as long as I can. The rocks are never obvious. This, their appeal. We take photographs, but they start to slide out of the picture, as the page and the slanting handwriting there is always more than its texture. The day passes. The rocks remain. For the moment, lunch makes a difference. Monk is mute. And Madison is voluble on factions. I listen to both. I write this out on an oak table. Somebody made it. It is a plank I use for eating, talk, collage. The table is under it all. But I cannot circle back to it now. That work is done. Now, our turn. Now's the thing that no one doubts. The rocks are another thing. Who wants these? They're here. But they're another thing. Nobody seems to want them. So the rocks, it is not a clear. Give us the rocks then. We're all in with the rocks. That was published in Black Warrior Review. And this is my last poem. It's the title poem of this book. This is by Bill Traylor, as Steve said, who is a painter I love. And I just saw this painting, and I was just thinking about it, and I wrote a poem about it. And then, luckily, they said yes when we asked them if we could use it, which was crazy. But you see these two little feral kids in the cart there? Just love those kids. If you get the book, it kind of starts with that poem, and it ends with things we string together. So I think it starts with the brother and sister poem, and it ends with one. Runaway Goat Cart. This is how the cart starts, like a bad brother and sister team hitching up the horror. The goat cart starts like this, a stuttering path, low branches, patches of light, the lake, the woods, something like smoldering fire in the nose. It starts like gumption and bad apples, those large wheels wheeling larger, cracking forward, to fly and to die, but first to shout in the buggy air. Night of mosquitoes and mud, night of uprooted trees and glee, swooping bats, nothing left to see. They pick up speed like this. Sister says no, and brother says no, oh no. The blind scratch of a thicket, one, two, three, four phantoms more. The scent of tree clumps in each divot. This is how the mud-matted goat runs, its slatted eyes back behind its head, a fright outstripping her own muscle bands, and those freak eyes again. This is how the goat cart run off from each other. This is how the goat and the cart run off from each other, vaulted, bloody nose first. The scrappiest kid fighters taken out at the knees, and all the body parts rattling right the fuck off. This how they nearly capsize, cleaving and clawing, pounded by forces beyond their control. Starry, starry stars, starry, starry scars. The last screech inside of their nonstop stop. The cart shifts like this, blue for night when night is black. Black if they could see and black if they couldn't. There's no keeping up. There's no way to say no more. No hell. No holy shit. No holy shit hell. If you want a story, come back tomorrow. Thank you.